The Secretary of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, Eric Shinseki, says he will not resign over recent agency scandals, despite calls from Republican lawmakers to do so. Do you think Shinseki should step down? It's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, May 14th. We will hear from two guests in separate half hours who have different answers to that question. They'll tell us why and answer your questions and respond to your views, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our first guest, who says the VA secretary should resign. Pete Hegseth is CEO of Concerned Veterans for America, former executive director of Vets for Freedom, and a Fox News contributor. He is an infantry officer in the Army National Guard and has served in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Guantanamo Bay. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us tell us about the problems at the VA and why there is this controversy to begin with.
Sure. And our organization actually called for Secretary Shinseki to step down a year ago, not over the current problems, but because of the disability claims backlog, which is something you've probably discussed. That's a delay in getting disability claims to veterans who through service-connected injuries are due certain percentages. That is a totally different problem, and veterans are waiting upwards of 300 days, oftentimes many years, and the appeals process is still a 3 to 4 year process to get resolution, which this president and Secretary Shinseki promised they would bring down. Instead, it exploded despite a lot more funding. More recently, the scandal has been covered up wait times at VA facilities, and most prominently in Phoenix, where we believe the director there, but also administrators throughout, were maintaining two sets of lists, one that was reported to Washington that was the sort of fraudulent or fake list, and then you had a secret list that was the actual wait time that veterans were waiting. And the goals within the Department of Veterans Affairs is to make sure vets wait less than 14 days for a medical appointment, which is very reasonable and what should happen. Unfortunately, in reality, veterans are waiting much longer than that, oftentimes months. But the incentives inside the institution are to show Washington that it is actually only 14 days. And so you're seeing secret lists being maintained now, not just in Phoenix, but in Colorado and Texas. Most recently last night in Chicago, it was exposed. Another clerk, another whistleblower came forward. So whistleblowers are stepping forward now to talk about a bureaucratic culture, which is really, as the American Legion's national commander called it, infected with a problem of covering up as opposed to doing what it needs to improve performance.
Yeah, and at least 40 veterans could have died waiting for hospital care?
That's right. That's just in Phoenix. And those are still accusations. There's still an IG investigation going on, but the VA has confirmed that 23 across the nation have died recently because of delays in care. And this is because of delayed care based on excessive wait times.
Yeah. Well, our next guest is going to say that he agrees there are problems at the VA, but he supports Shinseki to get to the bottom of them. Do you think that Shinseki is capable of getting this sorted out?
I don't. And I think Secretary Shinseki, who was General Shinseki, has a great honorable military background, would be the first to admit that in his military career, anyone who failed at their job for 6 consecutive years wouldn't still have that job. And I think this is a powerful example of a place where there's a department lacking in accountability. And unfortunately, the accountability has to start at the top. Now, I would also acknowledge that by firing Shinseki, you don't solve the problems at VA. You've got to create a culture of accountability, and you do that by actually empowering leadership to actually fire bad managers. It sounds basic. It sounds the basic leadership and management principle, but no one throughout VA at the management levels has been fired because of backlog scandals or these scandals, because it's nearly impossible to fire a manager at VA because of so many of the layered upon layered protections that exist. So the secretary is limited in what they can actually do, and unfortunately for Secretary Shinseki, he just hasn't been an aggressive reformer on these types of issues. And therefore, despite exploding budgets that have increased by over 60% under his tenure, you still haven't seen better outcomes, and certainly at best they're very uneven across the country.
But he has ordered an audit of every VA clinic. Isn't that trying to get to the bottom of it?
Who wouldn't order an audit of every VA clinic after your face has been on every national television network for the last couple of weeks? I mean, they're in panic mode, and this is how VA responds. They only respond in some ways to bad press. I mean, that's why the VA backlog started going down. The backlog has gone down in the last couple of years. That's because John Stewart and Network News and Fox News and others started talking about this massive wait time of hundreds of thousands, almost a million pending claims at the Department of Veterans Affairs. And so the department threw everything in the kitchen sink at the problem, forcing mandatory overtime. And that's good, but it isn't a reflection of a healthy culture. So now they're hitting the panic button on these wait times across the country, ordering an audit of every institution. Well, if you're in touch with your organization to begin with, you would have a sense that your mandated wait time, which is 14 days, isn't comporting with what you're hearing on the ground from veterans like our organization hears all the time, who are waiting actually 3, 4, 5, 6 months for a basic checkup, a basic medical appointment. And that it's a product of facilities where workers and doctors are not capable of for whatever reason meeting the caseload that they have. The problem is we don't believe it has to do with dollars, and we believe it has to do with incentives within the organization.
It seems to me that I had a relative, a veteran of the Korean War, 20, 30 years ago, complaining of similar delays in getting treatment and bureaucracy and that kind of thing. I mean, how long haven't these problems been going on like forever?
I think so. I mean, I think you just see an exacerbation of the problem because over this very same time frame, this administration has also opened up additional categories of veterans that can access care, which is good in many ways. You've got Vietnam veterans and others who are now able to access care that were not able to. So it exacerbated a volume issue where the department already wasn't handling it well. My argument on that would be this is the manifestation of government-run, top-down, single-payer health care. This is what you get. You get delays in care. You get increased bureaucracies. You effectively get some level of rationing because what they can't do is serve everybody in a timely basis. So we saw actually down in Texas, they were mandating 3 positive colonoscopy tests before you would get treatment for cancer. So you had literally veterans going from stage 1 to stage 4 cancer over 3 tests before the VA would do anything because they had to have a screening process about who they were going to care for and who they were not. And I think we know what we're getting because we've seen this before. The unfortunate reality is the only way to change it is to infuse some accountability and transparency. Those are 2 pills that the VA does not want to take.
Yeah. But some would say, why blame Shinseki for bureaucratic problems that have been around for a long time, or for the actions of some specific hospital managers?
Well, I mean, leadership matters, and having come from the military with Shinseki, the military, he understands that better than anybody else. Leadership matters, and what is very clear with him is that he's out of touch with what's actually happening, and that's why the American Legion came out and called for him to resign as well. I mean, our organization called for him to be removed a year ago. The American Legion just a couple of weeks did so. That's really a game changer. I mean, the American Legion is the single largest veterans organization in America that partners on a daily basis by facility with these VA facilities. For them to say that he should be done really is a vote of no confidence for the secretary, and I think creates an unsustainable situation. Now you've got members of Congress, as you pointed out, Republicans at this point calling for the secretary to step down. I think that he probably knows this is not a situation that can continue in perpetuity. But I would also acknowledge it's not just the VA secretary, and it's not just Shinseki, just like it's not just Phoenix. If you were to get rid of him, you'd have to do 2 things. One, you'd have to replace him with a reformer who's ready to come in and actually find out what's wrong and fix it. And 2, you've got to put tools in the hands of that reformer so that they can swiftly change the culture. And that's why our organization has worked hard on the Hill on a bipartisan piece of legislation called the VA Management Accountability Act. And it's a 1-page piece of legislation that would empower the VA secretary to fire members of the senior executive service who are underperforming. Those are the folks that lead the hospitals and the departments, the regional offices, because Sharon Hellman, let's say they find out that there was a second list, it's not clear that she could actually be fired. She's the leader of the Phoenix VA. She would probably just be put on paid administrative leave, which she currently is right now, or shuffled to another position. That's not how you change cultures, and that's unfortunately, it's bureaucrats and managers that outlive secretaries and are able to undermine reforms if there's an actual reformer.
Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki says he will not resign over recent agency scandals, despite calls from some Republican lawmakers to do so. Do you think Shinseki should step down? That's today's big question. We are talking with a guest in this half hour who says yes, he should be fired. We'll hear from a guest with a different perspective who still supports Shinseki after 7:30. And we want to hear from you, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. In today's big question, we are asking whether it is time for Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki to resign. What do you think? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is telling us why he thinks Shinseki should resign. Pete Hegseth, CEO of Concerned Veterans for America. Our first caller is Ralph in Little Suamico. Hello, Ralph.
Yes, hello. This is kind of a general comment, and it may be addressed later on. You kind of touched on it already, but... I'm opposed to him resigning, and not because I think he's blameless, but because what happens in all these investigations and these scandals is once the head resigns, everybody kind of forgets about it. And, you know, what you really have to find out is who really is responsible. And if it was that particular district down in Arizona, I would think whoever is the head of that district should be investigated, and once the head resigns, it seems like the Senate kind of, or the Congress, or whoever's investigating it, just kind of like relaxes and it all goes away. So, you know, and the other amazing thing I heard was that he can't terminate the people on his staff. That is like incredible. You know, nobody runs that, no private business runs that way, and if that's the case, well, then he's blameless because he can't do anything about it anyhow.
All right. Pete?
No, I think that first one is a very good point. You run the risk when calling for Shinseki to step down of giving him a fall guy if they decide to remove him. So we've emphasized from day one that it is not just Shinseki. Shinseki should be held accountable, but without reforms to empower the next secretary, I don't think you're going to see the kind of cultural change that's necessary. As far as that local facility, you know, getting to the bottom of that, I agree. Of course, we should investigate what's going on in Phoenix, and they are. Problem is, since then, there have been four or five other facilities where whistleblowers have come forward and acknowledged that lists exist there as well. So it isn't just one isolated incident. There's clearly a cultural or a directive from somewhere near the top it's not acceptable to have these wait times, and whatever you got to do to take care of it, you should take care of it. That's why the American Legion technically did not just call for Secretary Shinseki to resign. They also called for the head of the Veterans Benefits Administration as well as the Veterans Health Administration. The Benefits Administration is in charge of the backlog. The Health Administration, Petzl, is in charge of the hospitals. So there's a recognition that it isn't just Shinseki, there's others. But I do think it's true. If you can't fire actual managers, there's a limit to how much accountability you can even have with that person. The problem is Shinseki is so detached and I don't think he understands fundamentally what's happening within his own department, because he's surrounded himself with people who have insulated him, that the fear is that he's not even in touch with what would need to be done even at the local level in order to change it.
Secretary Shinseki is expected to testify tomorrow before Congress about these recent scandals, problems. What are you hoping to get out of that testimony?
Well, you know, we're hoping that some tough and honest questions will be asked. I do know that Senator Bernie Sanders is the one convening it. He's the chairman of the Senate VA committee. We're hearing that the intent of him holding the hearing is to allow Shinseki the opportunity to wax and wane about how wonderful VA healthcare is. So I know that's the sort of the desire. Now, I would say this about VA healthcare. There are excellent VA facilities. There are excellent VA doctors, VA nurses. The quality of care in many of these clinics is excellent. That is not the indictment. The indictment is twofold. One, that it's uneven. That there are some excellent VA facilities. The problem is there are some really poor ones. Phoenix is particularly bad, and veterans have been talking about it for a long time. So if you have the misfortune of living near a bad facility, well, you're stuck. And if you live next to a good one, well, that's good for you. So that's in my mind, that's kind of the primary indictment, I would say, is that you'd have a lack of choice within what you get to choose and where you get to go.
Let's go to Myra in Plainfield. Hello, Myra.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
My husband is a Vietnam veteran. He broke his wrist. He was able to go to a clinic, but what we didn't realize was that clinic couldn't handle a broken wrist, so they sent him to another clinic. The first clinic was 30 minutes away. The second clinic was an hour and a half away. Once he got to the second clinic, they said that they couldn't set the break because they weren't qualified. So they sent him home and then told us we had to make an appointment at a third clinic that was another hour and a half away. When we finally got on the phone with the third clinic, it took us most of a morning. They said that he still had to wait another 10 days to get it set. And when he had a melanoma on his back recently, there was no way I was going to call the VA, even though it probably stemmed from his Vietnam service. Mm-hmm. I cannot ever trust them with my husband's care. It's ridiculous.
A reaction to that, Pete?
Yeah, I mean, what else do I need to say? Unfortunately, we hear that all the time. And the second point I was going to make about lack of choice is, of course, while you may have quality care at some of these facilities, it's the bureaucratic blockages, the delays, no, we can't see you here, so we're going to see you there. No, wait, now you've got to wait 10 days to get your wrist set. It has nothing to do with customer service, which is the entire point of what the VA is supposed to do, and everything to do with its own processes. It's obsessed with its own bureaucratic culture, its own rules and regulations, which means the veteran falls short, is left wanting, the families are left wanting, and so they decide to go elsewhere. One of the other larger reforms that could be done, is to allow veterans to access other facilities near where they live, and the dollars follow them. That's not reforms that have been introduced yet, but I do think there's some folks in Washington willing to talk about that, because it's about time we put the veteran at the center of the equation, as opposed to a gigantic bureaucracy that's failing at its basic mission.
Is there anything that Secretary Shinseki could say when testifying tomorrow that would change your mind as to whether he should resign or not?
I could imagine a dramatic set of comments where he talks about how they're going to clean house and they're going to, you know, but the problem is at this point, there's so much has been said and so little has been done. If they were to say, we're going to pin an award on every whistleblower, if they were to say, and they're going to get a promotion for blowing the whistle, then I would say, yep, you're headed in the right direction. The problem is every whistleblower that blows the whistle gets harassed, gets pushed out, gets sent elsewhere, or gets demoted. It is a culture that anyone who asks for more, who says, I want to do more, is said, no, sit down and continue to do less. And it's a culture that frankly, strangles the great employees who want to do well by veterans. So short of him coming out and sort of doing a complete reversal, there's very little the secretary can say tomorrow because he's already said it.
We have another call. Valerie in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy. My question to the gentleman is, at what point is the lack of funding that's being given by Congress to the system? They were wonderful in getting tons of money to the Iraq War and the Afghani War, and yet they refused to provide the funding to increase the number of personnel, to increase the number of facilities. And I have yet to see anything that's going to do that from this Congress.
Why don't they do that?
Well, it's not a funding issue. And drawing the Iraq and Afghanistan comparison is apples to oranges. What the VA is the second largest federal department in the government. It's gone from a $90 billion to a $160 billion budget since 2009. If there's one thing this administration has done really well, it's fund the VA. And if you look at all of the State of the Union addresses from President Obama, repeatedly talks about how much he's doing for veterans because of how much more we've spent on veterans in building hospitals and hiring new employees and hiring new mental health qualified folks. The issue is that it's good money going after a system that absorbing it for the wrong reasons and not necessarily improving its efficiency in delivering of services. Here's some stats that I should knock people back on their heels. Since 2001, the VA has hired an additional 110,000 employees. Its budget has increased by almost $90 billion, and it serves 4 million less veterans because of the World War II generation dying. And yet it can't deliver the basic needs of today's generation of veterans or Vietnam veterans and others who are seeking care at this time. It's not a funding issue. Let's make that crystal clear.
And we have
it is a culture issue.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pete Hegseth is the CEO of Concerned Veterans for America, who is calling for the resignation of VA Secretary Eric Shinseki. A different perspective after the news. This is the Ideas Network. Our big question on whether the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs should resign continues in this half hour with a guest who says, no, he should not. We just heard from a guest in our last half hour who said that Secretary Eric Shinseki has to go. Our guest in this half hour says, while there are problems at the VA that need to be fixed, he still supports Shinseki and wants to see him get to the bottom of them. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our next guest. He is Joe Violante, who is the National Legislative Director at Disabled American Veterans. He's a Marine Corps veteran who served in Vietnam. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why do you still support Secretary Shinseki after the problems that have come to light that are going on in the VA?
The DAV continues to have confidence that the VA, led by Secretary Shinseki, can and will correct the problems that have been identified or will be uncovered. I mean, let me say, too, that we are deeply concerned about the allegations that have come forward on secret waiting lists and falsification of medical appointment records at a number of VA facilities. And we're looking forward to the ongoing investigation by the Inspector General and the report. We certainly support the Secretary's initiative with regards to auditing all VA facilities. And we would hope that maybe they bring in a third-party expert to help increase objectivity and credibility of this audit process, and that they make all that information available to Congress and the American public.
Well, our previous guest said that these problems date back well before the latest allegations. How would you rate Secretary Shinseki's performance?
Well, you know, I mean, we have a past track record to look at, too, with regards to the Secretary and things that he's done during his term. I mean, you know, I listened to Peter talk about, you know, the claims backlog and the fact that it wasn't until, you know, people started talking about the backlog that the secretary did something, and that's not true. I mean, I've been working, you know, on veterans issues for the past 30 years and very closely with regards to the claims process, and things were starting well before the information started coming out about the backlog, looking at ways to transform the system. And he was doing those things and moving forward. And so I think what we've seen from this secretary is the fact that he's willing to tackle these difficult problems and to try to find solutions. We don't always agree, and we feel sometimes that it's moving a little slower than it should. But I think we remain confident in his ability to turn these things around.
Yeah. Well, what about the buck stops here? He's the, you know, he's the leader, and he should be held accountable for problems that are ongoing at the VA.
Well, you know, we're waiting to see what these investigative reports find, and we will hold people accountable if there have been things that were wrongfully done. You know, where I totally disagree with your last speaker is that this is not a funding issue. That's just not true. And yes, I agree that Congress and the administration have increased the VA budget. And in fact, this administration, more than any previous administration, has come closer to meeting the needs in his initial budget recommendations. But, you know, going back over the past decade, DAV and our partners in the independent budget, which we've been doing now for 28 years, has consistently pointed out shortfalls in VA medical care and construction. And, you know, over that decade, Congress has funded below our recommendation about $5.5 billion. And just over the past 5 years, they've missed our recommendations by $3.5 billion. So, and when you look at construction, which is, you know, VA's ability to continue to expand and to put community-based outpatient clinics where they need to be, over the last decade, they're $9 billion less than where they should be. And this is, you know, based on VA's strategic capital investment plan, which says that VA needs to invest between $56 to $69 billion in improvements over the next 10 years. And unfortunately, the administration's only requested $1 to $1.5 billion on an average. And, you know, Congress says we're giving them what they asked for and no more. And it's frustrating because, yes, there should be some efficiencies and things that need to be looked at. And you know, I listened to one of your callers complain about not being able to get her husband in a timely fashion. And yes, you know, that does happen on occasion. A lot of that is due to budget shortfalls, to VA not being able to take care of people that are in the system. And I don't know where Peter came up with 4 million veterans less that VA's treating. I mean, consistently over the last several years, they've been at about 6 million unique patients that they cared for, and roughly between 8 to 9 million that are enrolled. So I'm not quite sure where he gets his figure that there's 4 million less veterans in the system.
And he said due to World War II veterans dying, but
not all of them are registered or enrolled in VA healthcare. But I mean, their numbers have been consistent, and you know, unfortunately, they have the ability to do what's called fee-based care for service-connected disabled veterans under certain requirements, and also they have the ability to contract out care. And you know, if there's a place where we believe VA has fallen woefully short of what they should be doing, or in those two areas, well, if they have patients that come in that need care elsewhere that VA can't provide, they need to do it. But because of funding shortfalls, becomes really difficult for them to do that.
Speaking of bucks, let's bring in Glenn in Green Bay. Hi, Glenn.
Hi. Say, what I propose, and I believe this is the way to go, is to get rid of the VA entirely. We don't need it. When a person comes out of the service, or those who have been in the service, they should get a credit card, a veteran's credit card. You should be able to go to any facility that you need to go to. You should not have to wait in line to get there. All hospitals would have to take you. All doctors would have to take you. And the government would have to pay whatever these people would charge.
Well, our previous guest, he didn't specifically say a credit card, but he was making a similar point that perhaps it's time to at least let the money follow the veteran to any medical care facility that that veteran wants to go to. What do you think of that solution?
You know, that's a solution that's been put out before. It's one that we've thought about and one that we do not support. Only because of the fact that we can't get proper funding for VA right now. And VA healthcare costs are roughly about half of what the charges are in the private sector or in Medicare. So now if you double the costs of MyCare as a veteran out there in the private sector, how long will it be before Congress says, well, wait a minute, you know, we can't be doing this. The only thing we're going to do now is pay for the health care for a veteran service-connected condition out there in the private sector. I mean, you mark my word, they will not fund this at the levels it needs to be funded at. And like we've seen in Medicare, they'll be cutting back to the point where doctors will not accept that card or whatever it is that a veteran would use. So, and then we lose the specialties that VA provides. I mean, with regards to post-traumatic stress disorder, spinal cord injury, amputations, polytrauma. I mean, you know, TBI is a big thing right now. And these individuals will not get the care for those out in the private sector like they do at VA. So I would caution anyone who thinks that Congress is just going to totally fund every veteran going out to the private sector to get their care that it's not going to happen. And what we'll see is a drastic cutback in who's going to be able to get that care and what that care is going to be provided for.
We are talking about Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki saying that he is not going to resign over recent problem scandals at the agency, even though some Republicans have called on him to resign. We heard from a guest in our last half hour who was saying that Eric Shinseki should step down. Our guest in this half hour is saying no, he should not. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. Veterans Affairs Secretary Eric Shinseki is expected to testify tomorrow before Congress about recent agency problems, including a secret system to hide treatment delays at VA hospitals. We are talking with a guest who says that Eric Shinseki should not resign, though there are problems that need to be fixed at the VA. We are welcoming your questions and your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Joe Violante, National Legislative Director at Disabled American Veterans, a Marine Corps veteran who served in Vietnam. And we welcome your calls at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, John writes on Facebook, I guess it depends. I don't know how long he's been there, but this type of behavior is usually found in organizations with punitive incentive payment structures, kind of like the proposed school funding model with those that need the most help, losing the most funding. Okay, well, I'm not sure, Joe. Does that play into this?
Well, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, VA tries to provide funding to their districts, which are called VISNs, based on their patient population and who they're treating. So I don't know if that is totally applicable to this situation, but I don't think so.
What do you want to hear from Secretary Shinseki when he testifies before Congress tomorrow?
Well, I'd like to hear more about these audits that he plans to do around the country. Like I said, the DAV would like to see them bring in third-party expert to assist with those audits. I'd also like to hear him say that he's, you know, allowing veteran service organizations to go out on these audits to give the VA people our impressions of what's going on in those, and for us to see firsthand what's happening. I also, you know, he's in a tough situation. I mean, he's limited in what he can say about his budget. And so I would love to hear him say that they haven't received the money that they needed. But unfortunately, I think, you know, he's bound by what the administration requests. And as I said, in the last several years, Congress hasn't provided any additional money above what the administration requested, which is rare. I mean, you know, in the decades that I've been doing this, the only time I've seen that was during the Clinton administration, when there was the effort to reduce the deficit, and for three straight years, the budget was flatlined, and Congress approved that flatline budget. But other than that, I mean, most administrations come in low, knowing that Congress is going to beef up their funding. And again, where I do agree with Peter is this administration, I think, has probably done a better job in coming in close to where they need to be, but Congress hasn't provided any additional funding. And in fact, what we're seeing now, based on what the House has proposed, is they've reduced what the Secretary was asking for advanced appropriations for health care. And then they took the VA's estimate on collections, and they raise that estimate so that they're saying that VA is going to collect more money than VA thought they would collect. And again, in our mind, that's a budget gimmick, because unfortunately, VA makes a projection of how much money they're going to collect from third parties. And if they don't meet those projections, no one makes up the difference. So every year that those projections have been in there, we've seen VA miss the mark. Yet no one's added any funding to correct that, and now Congress is saying they're going to collect more than what they need. So I think we're going to see even more of a stress on the system because of that.
You know, I wanted to ask you about this VA Management Accountability Act of 2014. Our guest was supporting this in our last half hour. The House is planning on voting on that bill next week. It allows the VA secretary to hold managers accountable for their actions. Is that really a problem here? The VA secretary cannot fire, for example, I don't know, the hospital VA administrator in Phoenix?
That's not totally true. I mean, the secretary has the authority to fire people. There are protections in place, and what this legislation does is basically remove those protections. And so a secretary can come in from one party and fire all his top executives from the other party without any ramifications. So DAV doesn't support that legislation. We don't believe that would put in place the type of accountability we would like to see. You know, if these investigations and reports find that people should be held accountable for what they did with regards to the record keeping or the dual records, then we will demand that they be held accountable regardless of how high it goes up.
Let's take a call from Yvonne in Jefferson. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I wanted to echo the sentiment, first of all, that VA hospitals are uniquely qualified to see veterans. My job as a county veteran service officer, I enroll people in VA healthcare. I've gotten my own care there for the last 8 years. And I'll tell you that my care, my experience there has been nothing but stellar, especially at Madison. And 95% of the people that I enroll in VA are very happy. There's always going to be someone who runs into a problem. And the job of county veteran service officers across the state and 30 other states in the U.S. is that we speak VAEs. And sometimes it's that the veteran's not asking the right question. Certainly there are, I just had a call yesterday from someone who was upset that it was taking too long to get a cardiology appointment. But the thing is, when we raise those issues with the management, it's possible to solve those issues. I just wasn't hearing that over the last hour, anyone expressing that. I don't want people who are listening to this program to not enroll in VA healthcare because they think, especially here in Wisconsin, we have fabulous VA facilities. In fact, the Madison VA facility that I get my care at has a Veterans Advisory Committee. So they work very hard to get the prospectus to find out. A while ago, there was it was taking a long time to get appointments, and people were waiting longer than necessary or ideal times to get in and out of the optometry clinic. And so attention was focused there to solve that problem. And so I just wanted to put out that perspective.
A reaction, Joe?
Yeah, your caller, Connie, is exactly right. And VA does, there are independent satisfaction studies done, and VA scores higher in their satisfaction in the high 80s, even higher than the private sector. So veterans who do, you know, get the proper access to VA and get the health care are certainly satisfied with the care. And I'm glad she raised that point because, you know, we believe that VA is an institution that needs to remain there for veterans. And again, I would strongly recommend anyone who's thinking about just sending veterans out to the private sector, that's not the way to go. It would hurt veterans more than it would help them. And we just need to work through some of these problems to find out where they are and correct them. And, you know, we have points of contact all over the country, DAV points of contact. We have over 300 service officers, national and transition service officers. We have 14,000 volunteers. 9,000 are drivers that take veterans to and from their medical centers, and we have hospital coordinators in every place. And so we closely monitor the complaints that come out of there, and they are rare, and most of them are access problems. And, again, I would say those access problems are due in large part to a lack of sufficient resources and infrastructure.
So in our final minute or so here, in your closing statement, why should Secretary Shinseki keep his job?
Well, again, you know, we have not lost confidence in his ability to turn this around. And just removing him for what and we don't even know the facts of exactly what's happened. We've heard a lot of allegations. But I think the timing is wrong, and we create a void if he goes. And with just a couple of years left in this administration, I think it would be a big void and a total lack of leadership of any kind at VA.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Joy.
Appreciate it. Joe Violante is the National Legislative Director at Disabled American Veterans. He's a Marine Corps veteran who served in Vietnam. He stands behind the Secretary of the Veterans Administration, Eric Shinseki. Our guest in our first half hour, Pete Hegseth from Concerned Veterans for America, was calling on Shinseki to resign. We do have a poll online if you'd like to vote online. It's at WPR.org/joy. You can also find it linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.